Este clar că miza Rusiei este mare, tocmai de aceea investește atât de multe resurse în alegerile din Republica Moldova și nu poate fi această miză legată doar de Republica Moldova. E clar că această miză este legată în primul rând de războiul din Ucraina. Rusia vrea să preia controlul asupra puterii în Moldova ca să poată folosi Moldova împotriva Ucrainei, dar și împotriva unor state ale Uniunii Europene, pentru că aici ar putea să instruiască oameni pe care să-i trimită pentru tot felul de acțiuni ilegale în statele Uniunii Europene. Ar putea să lanseze de aici drone, așa cum face astăzi din Belarus înspre statele Uniunii Europene. Cunoaștem că Rusia poate face mult rău și își dorește să controleze Republica Moldova pentru ca să ne folosească împotriva altor state.
This is my video update on this Sunday afternoon, September the 28th, coming to you from Yerevan, Armenia. Let's talk about some news. And we are going to start things off with the elections taking place in Moldova. As I am recording this video, there are parliamentary elections happening in Moldova. And Sandu, the pro-EU Moldovan leader, she is doing everything she can to make sure that the coalition parties do not win these elections because they are against Project Ukraine. They want friendly relations with Russia. And this is unacceptable for the European Union and their puppet Sandu. And so they are they're banning many parties for these elections. 24 hours before the polls opened, they started to ban parties in this coalition that they believe are going to be against Project Ukraine and the EU. And even Sandu came out and she said that if the parliament elections do not go her way, the pro-EU way, then there's a possibility that the elections may be annulled and there will be a do-over until they go the European Union West's way. And of course, they're blaming it all on the fact that the parties that form this coalition that should win, if everything is fair and equal, should be winning these elections, this coalition of parties. But they're going to say that if it does not go the EU's way, then they're going to say it was some sort of Russian meddling and they will redo it until things go their way. And so the Romanian model in full effect in Moldova. So we'll wait and see what's going to happen when we get the results of these elections. Of course, the fact that Moldova is being considered as a second front is key to these elections. The forces that do not want Moldova to be destroyed, like Ukraine has been destroyed, are going up against the force that wants to make Moldova into a second front against Russia in this conflict. And then you have the issue of Transnistria and everything going on there. Zelensky came out with a statement saying that when the conflict in Ukraine started up, he issued warnings to Transnistria, telling them that if they got involved in any way with the conflict in Ukraine, then he would attack Transnistria, and he was saying stuff like that. So a very very important election in Moldova for the European Union. They need to keep expanding. And for NATO, they need to keep expanding. And the fact that Russia has shut them down in Ukraine, the expansion model has been effectively blocked in Ukraine, blocked in Georgia. Armenia, I guess, is in play. But Moldova is one of the last remaining second fronts. So it's very key for the EU and for NATO, the collective West, these elections in Moldova. And they are going to do everything in their power to make sure that the forces that support Sandu and the European Union come out ahead in these elections. We wait and we see. And since we're talking about elections, should we talk about Keir Starmer? Should we talk about Starmer's popularity, which is the lowest in UK history? The lowest in UK history, 008, Keir Starmer. He has an approval rating of minus 66%. I don't even know what that means, minus 66% approval rating. That's his approval rating. It is lower than Sunak, lower than Truss, lower than Boris the Clown, lower than Cameron, Blair, lower than everybody's. The lowest in history, Keir Starmer. And deservedly so. Boy, did he earn that distinction, right? So, Keir Starmer, the most unpopular man in British politics, but yet remains in power and is now trying to push a digital ID, a mandatory digital ID, onto the citizens of the UK. And they are not happy about it. They will not allow Keir Starmer to push digital ID. The petition to ban the digital ID has now surpassed 2 million signatures. And since we're talking about unpopular leaders, it looks like BlackRock Mertz has now hit an all-time low with an approval rating of 23%. 23%, man. And he's only 4 months in office. That's how hated this guy is. Mertz, BlackRock Mertz, who is wrecking Germany at a record pace. I didn't think BlackRock Mertz would be able to do so much damage to Germany in just 4 months. But man, he has been absolutely awful for Germany, Mr. BlackRock Mertz. So his 23% approval rating is very much deserved. I'm shocked that there are 23% of the German population that approve of Mertz. Really, guys? Really? Oh, man. How about a popular leader, Viktor Orban, who the European Union, according to Deutsche Welle, has now accepted that they will not be able to get rid of Orban until the elections in 2026. I believe the elections in Hungary are April of 2026. And according to Deutsche Welle and their sources in the European Union, the plan is to just wait until those elections and then to do everything that they can to make sure that Viktor Orban loses in those parliament elections. They've already picked their globalist puppet. He goes by the name of Peter Magyar. I believe his first name is Peter. But he's been picked by the globalists to take over for Orban. And they're going to do everything in their power, according to Deutsche Welle, to make sure that Orban does not stay in power. And they've even started to prepare everything for fast-tracking Project Ukraine to enter the European Union, because as Orban remains the leader of Hungary, he continues to put a veto on Ukraine entering the European Union. So what the EU is doing now is they're getting everything in order They're getting all the paperwork done. They're getting all of the bureaucracy out of the way for Ukraine to enter the European Union. And they're hoping to make it so that Orban loses in April. And then they have everything in place that they can speed up Ukraine's entry into the EU. And since we were talking about Starmer and the digital ID, yesterday we got the news that George Galloway and his wife, they were detained upon their return to the UK at Gatwick Airport, where they were in Russia. And the UK police, the authorities, they detained Galloway and his wife. They have been released. My understanding is that they have been released and no charges have been put on Galloway. But the reports are that they were detained at the airport under the Terrorism Act. That's what the reports are saying. I believe this evening, George Galloway is going to make a statement as to what happened and why the UK authorities detained him. Scary stuff happening in the UK, man. But can you imagine? They detained Galloway and his wife because allegedly they made a trip to Russia. So what? Let them travel to Russia. I mean, come on. But they detained them for questioning in order to harass them and scare them. That's why they detained them. But can you imagine giving the power of a digital ID to the UK establishment, what they're going to do? Very scary stuff. So let's talk about the Financial Times article written by Yuval Hariri. Is that the guy that's in the WEF, Hariri? Is that him? I don't know. I know there's someone with the name Hariri who was like Klaus Schwab's number two, but maybe I'm mixing the people up. Anyway, the author of this article is Yuval Hariri, and it has the title, Why Ukraine is Winning the War. Russia has failed to achieve its core aim, the destruction of the Ukrainian nation. Talk about delusional. Talk about a delusional article from the Financial Times. So in this article, they actually believe that Trump's post on Truth Social was the real deal. They actually believe that when Trump said to Ukraine, to NATO, to the European Union, go on and fight Russia and go all the way to Moscow, they actually believe that Trump was being serious, when just about everyone has accepted, including the European Union, everyone has accepted that Trump's post on Truth Social was sarcasm, right? He's trying to wash his hands of Ukraine, and he's saying, go ahead, guys. Go fight, do whatever you want to do. I'm Audi 5000. But in this article from the Financial Times, they actually believe that Trump was serious when he said Ukraine can win and is going to win, and they could go all the way to Moscow. They can go to the 1991 borders, Trump said, and who knows, even beyond. And the Financial Times, in their infinite intelligence, the FT, they actually believe this post from Trump. So they base this article on Trump saying that Ukraine, with the support of the European Union and NATO, can win. And then they trot out all the usual other reasons why Ukraine is winning this war and has won this war. And we all know the reasons that they put out there over and over again to try and cope and make it out as if Russia has lost and Ukraine has won. And those reasons are that Putin was not able to take Kiev in 3 days. Putin wanted to capture all of Ukraine, and he has only captured 20% in 4 years. They say that the Ukraine military has destroyed the Russian Black Sea Fleet, which is nonsense. But anyway, that's another reason that they throw out there for Ukraine winning and Russia losing. And then they also say that in they talk about 2022-23, that if Biden and the collective West gave Ukraine all of the weapons and all of the money that they were asking for, then they would have steamrolled over the Russian military, which is also nonsense. Absolute nonsense. All right, Biden, give over every single F-16 that the United States has in its possession to the Ukraine Air Force in 2022. Go ahead and give over those F-16s. Right? I mean, it's just ridiculous stuff coming from the Financial Times and from Mr. Hariri. No understanding of how conflicts go. No understanding of how wars are waged. And just because you give a ton of weapons, well, people have to be trained on those weapons, and they have to know how to fly those F-16s and operate those tanks. Unless, of course, Hariri's thinking in this article was that it was just going to be a 2022-2023 NATO invasion of Ukraine, and they were going to be the ones that were using all of the weapons that should have been provided to Zelensky. That would have been a different situation. But even then, Russia would have destroyed NATO if it decided to enter Ukraine with all of the collective West weaponry. And how do I know this? Because if NATO thought that they would be able to defeat Russia, then they would have gone into Ukraine from day one. Make no mistake about it. So anyway, that's the article from the Financial Times. Yesterday, we had another massive drone and missile strike into Ukraine, and this one focused on central Ukraine, specifically Kiev. 500 to 650 drones and missiles were launched into central Ukraine. And once again, judging by the videos and the photos that have come out, Ukraine air defense was just not operating. Some of the Patriot systems that were fired actually malfunctioned. And there's videos on social media which actually show the Patriot missiles missing the targets or malfunctioning and just landing on targets on facilities or apartment blocks or whatever in Kiev. So you could see the actual Patriot missiles malfunctioning or misfiring from the videos that we have from yesterday's massive Russian drone and missile strike. So Zelensky, he has a plan to defeat Russia, and he posted it all on X. Zelensky has a new plan to defeat Russia, and his plan is for the entire collective West, Europe, the United States, as well as India, China, and much of the global South, to stop purchasing Russian oil and gas. And according to Zelensky, if they stop purchasing Russian oil and gas, then the Russian economy will crater. And according to Ukrainian sources, Russia already doesn't have money for social services. They do not have money to spend on their citizens, and they're spending it all on the war. And so Zelensky is saying, if we can just get everyone on board to stop buying Russian oil and gas, then it's going to put more pressure and more strain on Russian people, and then they're going to revolt against the Putin government, because they are going to be going hungry, and the Russian government will not be able to spend anything on social services, and that will deliver a victory, according to the Green Goblin. That's his plan. And he says that history has proved this time and again, that if you can bankrupt Russia and cause their people to go hungry, then you can manage to overthrow the government. So that is Zelensky's plan. He posted it on X. Let me read you a little bit of the Green Goblin's master plan. He said, Europe must stop importing any Russian oil and gas. All this money is spent by Russia directly on the war. We see no increase in social support inside Russia, which means all of these funds are going to the war. If there is a shortage of money for the war, social support for people in Russia will decrease. If social support decreases, people will become dissatisfied, and the Russian leadership will be dissatisfied as well. History shows Russia has always changed after hunger riots, and that is exactly what they fear. Yes, there are risks, and alternative logistics may cost more, but a way must be found to stop buying Russian energy. On this, I fully support the U.S., and Ukraine is ready to help Europe. So he doesn't talk about India and China in this post, stopping the purchase of Russian oil and gas. He talks about the United States and Europe. The United States and Europe, according to Zelensky, they have to stop the purchase of Russian oil and gas. And then this will lead to hunger riots, according to Zelensky. Not hunger games, hunger riots, according to the Green Goblin. Hunger riots, Podolyak, hunger riots. Yeah, the only problem with Zelensky's plan is that the hunger riots will probably be coming from the collective West, from Europe. I think the hunger riots will be happening in Europe if they completely stop purchasing Russian energy. Not from Russia, from Europe is where you are going to see the hunger riots, Mr. Green Goblin. It's a plan, though. It's a plan. Zelensky is a man with a plan. Volodymyr Zelensky. So, Iran has the sanctions now, the snapback sanctions. The UN, these are UN snapback sanctions. They are ready to resume. The UN General Assembly meeting is going to be wrapping up. Lavrov spoke yesterday at the General Assembly, and Lavrov he talked about how Germany is preparing for war with Russia, and then he went into a bit of a history lesson, but his warning to Europe and to Germany specifically was don't you think about going to war again with Russia. Because we will defend ourselves, and we will fight, and we will win. That was pretty much the message from Lavrov. But Lavrov also stated that Russia has no interest in invading Europe or invading NATO. He said this is complete nonsense and complete fiction. But if Europe and if Germany think that they're going to build up their military to get another crack at destroying Russia and invading Russia, he said it's not going to happen. So that was his speech at the UN General Assembly. But the sanctions are now being placed back on Iran, the UN sanctions. China and Russia said they're not going to abide by these UN sanctions. But Germany, the UK, and France, they triggered the snapback sanctions. And the United States, they came out with a statement, and they're very happy with France, Germany, and the UK for triggering the snapback sanctions, which are connected to the JCPOA, the terms of the JCPOA, which Iran did not pull out of, but the Trump administration and the US pulled out of. So that's an update there. Have you guys heard about, is this true? Is this story true? Because I'm seeing this a lot on social media. Have you guys heard about the talk that Tony Blair is going to be picked as the guy to administer Gaza in Trump's deal, the deal that Trump is putting together? I talked about this in my video update yesterday. There are rumors which claim that it's going to be Tony Blair that is going to be the person that is going to be administrator of Gaza. How twisted and horrific is that? I've also read rumors, I don't know if this is true either, so I can't confirm this, that Tony Blair's son has some sort of stake or ownership in the company that would be awarded the contract for digital IDs in the UK. I don't know if this is true, but I read that on social media as well. So staying with Trump, he is authorizing military involvement in Portland, some sort of military operation in Portland. He posted on Truth Social at the request of Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem. I am directing Secretary of War Pete Hegseth to provide all necessary troops to protect war-ravaged Portland and any of our ICE facilities under siege from attack by Antifa and other domestic terrorists. I am also authorizing full force if necessary. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Something happened in Portland, right? An ICE facility was attacked or something like that happened in Portland. I'm not quite sure. I haven't been keeping up with this story, but Trump has now authorized the Department of War to take action in Portland. Some sort of a war happening in Portland, Oregon. That's a frightening development. But I said this in a video a couple of weeks ago, that everything following Charlie Kirk's assassination is pointing to the Trump administration going after not only Antifa, but also going after organizations that are believed to be behind Antifa and organizing and bankrolling Antifa. And we know what those organizations are. This is what I said in a video a couple of weeks ago after the Charlie Kirk assassination, and that is what appears to be playing out. So quite an amazing post from Trump. We'll be following the story as to what's going to be happening in Portland over the next couple of days or couple of weeks. So let's do a clown world, I guess, and we can wrap up today's Sunday video from Republic Square in Yerevan, a very beautiful square here in Yerevan, Armenia, I must admit. A very, very beautiful square. So in today's clown world, I'm just going to talk about the panic in Europe with drones. It has gone way, way too far. It's now clown world level. I'm just going to categorize all the news about drones in Europe as clown world going forward, because that's where we are. There are reports about more drones over Denmark. Yes, more drones spotted over Denmark that happened to vanish when the military gets close to them. So that happened yesterday. And we had drones over Germany. And now we are getting reports that BlackRock Mertz has told the German military to shoot down the drones over Germany. Oh my God. Ridiculous, man. They're going to be shooting down drones from content creators. That's what they're going to be doing. There's some guy that's going to be filming a YouTube video in Germany, right? In Berlin, and he wants to get like a nice drone shot of the city of Berlin, and the military's going to shoot it down with missiles from F-16s or something like that. Hey, you guys just shot down my YouTube video, my drone, my DJI drone. What are you guys doing, BlackRock Mertz? Anyway, I think I'll wrap up the video for today, for this Sunday. The Democrat Party, they released documents, Epstein documents, the House Oversight Committee. The Democrats in the committee and these documents, these Epstein documents, they talk about Musk, Bannon, and Peter Thiel as being named in these documents. And this is very misleading, actually. Very misleading what the Democrats are doing. And very manipulative what they're doing. Because if you're in Epstein documents, it doesn't mean you've done anything, right? Just because your name is in the documents, it doesn't mean you were at the island or anything like that. Actually, Elon Musk came out with a statement and he said as much. He said, just because my name is in these documents, it doesn't mean I had anything to do with Epstein or at his island or anything like that. He says, actually, they were pressuring me to go. And I said, no, I don't want to go to the island. So anyway, just because you're in there, it doesn't mean that you have anything to do with with the whole Epstein thing. So it's a bit malicious and misleading what the Democrats are doing. But the other thing that the Democrats are doing, that the Uniparty seems to be doing, is that they're muddying the waters, right, with the whole Epstein thing, because now the Republicans are going to say that, you see, the Epstein thing is a Democrat op. And then when the Republicans publish stuff about Epstein and they put out their Democrat names, then the Democrats are going to say, you see, this is some sort of a Republican op. And what it's going to do is it's just going to muddy the whole Epstein thing, right? They're going to turn it into a political football and then some sort of a political war between both parties. And it's just going to completely muddy the waters around the whole Epstein files and the whole Epstein thing. So anyway, I just thought I would mention that. So that's the video, theduran.locals.com. We're on X. We are on Rumble. And we are also on Telegram. Go to the Duran shop, pick up some merch, like what I'm wearing in this video update. I will see everyone tomorrow. Take care.